5-year daily study through the whole Word of God. Check for times on this station or look for Through the Bible in your favorite podcast store, and always at ttb.org.
P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995, and the church office number is 772-220-0602.
Ben, we need to do that one more time.
All right.
Now that we have the volume up.
All right. Welcome to The Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, a one-hour live stream produced in the WCNO studios and coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. The church address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. And the church office number is 772-220-0602. Our email address is info@abundantlifestuart.com. And our website is abundantlifestuart.com. If you would like to submit a prayer request, you can email those to us at prayerrequest@abundantlifestuart.com. If you are listening to us by radio but would like to watch our live stream, please go to our website, abundantlifestuart.com. And while you're there, please subscribe to our channel.
And we are so glad to have you joining us this morning. And Bob Warner is going to open us up with prayer at this time. Bob, we welcome you.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Hallelujah.
Glad to have you here. It's good to be here, for sure.
All right. Well, I'll open us up here. I just wanted to remind the guys that are listening that we had a wonderful month in April. And my remembrance, everything that I take with that passage through the month of April was all God provided. Every one of us got through. It was such a blessing to meet on a regular basis and just talk with the guys. So I know he's doing that for all our brothers and sisters out there. God gets us through. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that every day is important to you. You've told us to take one day at a time. It's how we encourage our neighbors and our family members, one day at a time. Pace yourself with things of God. Make sure that you involve yourself with the Lord on each day, but don't get too far ahead of yourself. Just lean on the understanding that God gives you by His Spirit. So I lift up all those that are here today listening. Those that would have wanted to be, Lord, I know you can touch them as well. We just lift up the individuals, our listeners out there, and promise, Lord, that I'm going to stay on the path with you.
Amen.
I'm not going to take a detour. And that's what I've seen the evidence of our men, whether they be young, middle-aged, or elderly individuals. They're staying on the path. And this is what it means to be a follower in Christ. And we thank you, Father, for your guidance, every provision that you make for us. I thank you for providing that right now, Lord. So I ask, Lord, by your Spirit, you touch every individual today. Make them a listener, a learner, teachable spirit this morning in Jesus' name. And we'll give you all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bob. And of course, the guys know that prayer is still happening with the men's group. And Saturday, I was not able to be there. That is continuing as well, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so if...
It's not routine. It's very important we get together. It's not just a routine. It's inspiring. When we leave there for the rest of the day on Saturday, we're enthused, persuaded, encouraged by the Word of God, and just being able to see each other rather than having to stay at home, it's very encouraging. So we thank the Lord that we can get together too.
All right. And Bob, you know, people are asking, when are we going to be able to gather again as the church? And so perhaps you've had some thoughts about that, Bob. I know we haven't really been able to get together and talk because my wife is in recovery. And I want to thank all of you who've been praying for Rachel. She is in recovery. She's making progress, thank God. And, of course, she had her gallbladder removed, and they Did a little cleaning, I guess, of her livers, the nicest way I can put that. And she is on the mend. She's eating a little more now. And so thank you so much for your continued prayer. And I know you ladies are continuing to get together for prayer as well. And so, Bob, the question about when can we get back? We do not know when the city will open the door so that we can once again gather as an assembly. And we've had several people requesting information. They've heard from what the governor has said that tomorrow they're going to there is going to be an opening of several areas within the state of Florida, which will include restaurants and I believe motels and some other businesses. And so we're really very thankful to see this day come. We prayed for it, and yet because we meet in a city facility, we will give you information as soon as we have it. So, Bob, at this point, we do not have a date from the city, and so we want to let all of our people know that. Is there anything else that you had to say to our congregation?
Well, in the meanwhile, we draw nigh. You make a phone call. Maybe you That's shoot good. A text off to a Amen. Friend or family member. You reach out. Maybe they're with spare time or just as the Holy Spirit quickens you to contact somebody. Maybe there's somebody you haven't had in contact with for quite a while. Just even a little conversation goes a long ways. And we were never meant to be separated from each other. So take this opportunity to come up with new ideas, such as a phone call or a text, I guess.
There
not
you
that
go.
New. But reach out to members. Maybe somebody, the Lord will remind you of somebody that you didn't see that often, even when we were getting together. Mm-hmm. And you can reach out to them and encourage them. It means a lot to hear from an individual and then, of course, pray with them. So be mindful of that.
Well, that's very good. I know, Jody, if you're listening today, I want to just say thank you for your words of just encouragement for us to get back together as soon as possible. And I know that many of our congregation are having these thoughts, and that is a good thing. That is a healthy thing.
Amen.
And that is exactly what a healthy congregation should be experiencing right now. We miss each other. We miss each other.
Amen.
And so this family that we have in Christ is a true bond that sometimes exceeds even the bonds that we have within our own family bloodline. But it's wonderful to be a part of the body of Christ. And so thank you so much for being in touch with the church, sending in cards. We've had letters. We've had a lot of notes, a lot of communication, text. And we do want to remember Larry and Sunshine Johnson. They are in the process of traveling back to North Carolina. And so they're going to be leaving the area. But after a few months, they will return as well. So I know many of our family have already left. Some are, we call them snowbirds, have went back north. But many of you are here and you're listening. So thank you so much. Please keep tuned in today. I'm going to ask that Ben one more time gives us the information. Because, Ben, I did have someone tell me this week they did not know how to get onto YouTube.
Okay.
So I said, all right, well, Jay was trying to help out, and Jay said, well, you can go to the webpage. Tell someone again, how can they get there? And for those who are saying, why aren't we on Facebook yet? Maybe you can answer that.
Sure. Well, absolutely. The easiest way is actually to go to our website. It's abundantlifestuart.com. And right on the website, we actually have the live video feed coming from our website. If you want to help us out to actually get us on Facebook, what you can do is if you're on our website watching the stream, you can actually go to the right-hand corner at the top of the video. There is a share link, and you can push that share link, and you can put it right on your Facebook page. So if you're one of those that has a Facebook account and you have a lot of people that follow your Facebook account and you want to share the church message with them, the easiest thing to do is pull up our website, abundantlifestuart.com, pull up the video feed, and to the right, at the top right corner of the video feed, there is a share link. So if you want to put that on Facebook, you're more than welcome to do that. We have the link open to where you can do that with your own Facebook page. And it'll put a link right there, so anybody that sees the status on your Facebook, they'll be able to click it and watch it from there.
All right. All that is good information, and I am hopeful to get our friend Ruddy here on the phone in just a moment. And if Ruddy is available this morning, we're going to have him just pray over the offering. Maybe he is not available this morning. We'll let it ring just another moment. I do want to give you an Hello, Ruddy. Are you there?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm right here.
Good morning. Well, we're going to have you lead us in our giving devotional this morning. But before you do that, I was going to give an update in regards to the property. Some have been asking. They said, you know, I'm driving by. I don't see anything happening. What's happening? So there are days when I ask as well, what's happening? And so I followed up with phone calls over Friday and Saturday. And I was able to speak with our underground utility contractor, found out that he is very ready to move ahead. The county, as I'd mentioned before, has approved most of the materials for the underground utility, which was one of the last, I guess, reviews that had to be done. We are still waiting on the concrete catch basins. That's for the drainage. And we're waiting on those shop drawings. Once we get those shop drawings, then those will go to the county for approval. Once we get that approval, then I believe most everything will be together. We did have a couple questions come up this past week that we didn't have answers for. One of the questions was in reference to the lift station. This has to do with the sewage. And the question was, do we have three-phase power or single-phase power? Well, since I have an engineer here in the room, it would be great to put him on the spot, but I won't. But that's something that we are going to be attempting this week to get a hold of FPL, find out who is in charge of our project as a coordinator, and they will help us figure that out, because they cannot build our lift station until we know what kind of a pump to order. So that's one of the last things. So Josh Rally's here. I know that he's a part of making sure the lights are on, and that's good. Every Christian ought to be a part of that ministry. Ruddy, you still with me?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor.
All right, Ruddy, go ahead and share with us.
Amen. Greetings to the church on air this morning, and the hope that we have is that someday soon we'll be in the air with Jesus Christ. As we gather this morning to worship and to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I just want to draw your attention to a lady in the Bible by the name of Rahab. She is popularly known as Rahab the Harlot. She came from Jericho. And this lady, she heard of the wonders of the God of Israel. She declared her faith in the God of Israel. What she did is that she hid the spies that Joshua would have sent over to spy out the land of Jericho. She offered her home as a refuge for these spies. And as a result, Rahab and her entire household, they were saved from the destruction of Jericho. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to give our tithes and our offering unto the Lord, the question is, what is it that you have that you can give unto the Lord? Today, as we give unto the Lord, we can declare our faith in Him, and we can experience His deliverance in various areas of our lives, because the God that we serve is the God of love, and His love is boundless. It has no boundary. As we bow our heads this morning, as we give unto the Lord this morning, your giving can be a means by which God can deliver you from the situations that you might be going through right at this moment. So I'm just going to invite you, wherever you are, just to bow your head with me as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, you are the God who changed not. And so this morning, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we commit ourselves once more, Lord, as we rededicate our faith in you this morning, we ask, Lord God, that for each and every listener on air this morning, we pray, Lord God, that as your, oh God, as your people prepare to give towards the work of the ministry, that, Lord, you will bless each and every giver. And even for those this morning, they may not have it financially to offer unto you, Lord. But, Father, they have a heart that they can give to you in service. And Lord, we know that you accept all offering. And so this morning, we ask that, Lord, individuals will find it fit to even give their heart to you in service to your kingdom. Lord, we ask of you all these mercies in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Ruddy, thank you so much. I trust you and your bride are well.
Thank you, Pastor. We are, and God bless you.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Ruddy. Have a blessed week, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome, Pastor.
All right, thank blessings. Once again, Ben, for those who are looking to see how they can give this morning, just give those directions,
sure.
Of course.
Thank you for paying your tithes and offerings this morning. And if you haven't done so already, or if you'd like to mail them in, you can do that at Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. That address again is P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. And if you still haven't done it on our website, you can do it there at AbundantLifeStuart.com. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube today, in the top left corner, help us out. We need to get our subscribers up to 100, so that way we can create our own personalized Abundant Life webpage on YouTube. So in order to do that, on the top left corner of the live video stream, just click the subscribe button, and it should light up red. And if you want to receive alerts from that, to the right, there's this little bell that pops up. Make sure you click the little bell so that way it will send you a notification anytime we go live. Once again, that information, the top left corner of the live stream, make sure you subscribe. And once again, our website where all the information for all this is AbundantLifeStuart.com.
Well, again, we do thank you for joining us. This is Abundant Life Assembly of God Church, and we have been in the community since 1986, and we thank you so much for joining us today. I trust that most of our family is able to be with us, and I would love to see all of you. I would love to stand at the door and give you all a hug and welcome you. And since I'm not able to do that, just know that my wife and I were so appreciative of your prayers. I believe even chicken noodle soup showed up at the house the other day for my wife. And she was very grateful for the chicken noodle soup. It was a great blessing. So to the family that delivered that, thank you so much. And one other thing I want to mention, we're getting ready to get into the Word of God in just a moment. We're going to be looking at a topic taken from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the gates of hell shall not prevail, in just a moment. I wanted to make mention that this week is going to be the week for the National Day of Prayer. This is very significant, I believe, at this time in our history as a nation. Perhaps this may be the most significant season that our nation has ever had. At least in my lifetime, that's the case. So this week on Thursday, the National Day of Prayer, we in the past have called together the body of Christ. There have been several different gatherings, some in Stuart here at the gazebo, and there's been several different areas where the church has gathered across the counties, up and down the coast, and across the nation. On the Treasure Coast of Florida, in this area, for the last couple years, we endeavored to have an event at the Port St. Lucie, the Civic Center that's there in Port St. Lucie. However, this year, due to the limited access for gathering, we're not able to do that. So let me just tell you what we are able to do. There will be a live stream, and that live stream will be at 12 noon and also at 6 p.m., and this is on Thursday the 7th, and the National Day of Prayer. So at 12 noon and 6 p.m., there will be a gathering of leaders from the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance and others from the Treasure Coast that will be leading different topics in prayer as we pray for our nation and pray for the various areas that so are in such a great need of the touch of God. And so that is going to be, you can find that by going to treasurecoastchristianalliance.com, treasurecoastchristianalliance.com. And you can also find this live stream on Facebook at Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And also you can find it on YouTube at Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And I am a part of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. I will be a part of this event, and I'm looking forward to each of you joining us. Also, if you are a listener of this station, which obviously many of you are, we will be airing at 1 o'clock and again at 5 o'clock this event on the radio. So get the word out, plan to be a part with us, and I trust that we as a nation will not only have a day of prayer, but we also will have a day wherein we seek God for his forgiveness, and there could be a true level of repentance in our nation. Well, thank you so much for opening your home, opening your heart. One of the Alliance pastors was sharing that the participation that they are having as they are live streaming is much greater today, as far as the number of people that are actually being reached is much greater than the number that was attending their services in the past. There was a statewide call that linked pastors together this week with John Stimberger. And it was a tremendous call. I was able to be a part of that. And so I believe there was well in excess of 1,000 pastors that came together this past week and on Thursday and just shared what's taking place. I also had the opportunity to speak with one of the leaders from Family Research Council in Washington. And he shared with me the same kind of information. One church, for example, it's a large church, a church that may have a congregation in the maybe to number somewhere close to 10,000. They have noted that close to 100,000 people are connecting with their live stream during this time. And so at a time when I believe that maybe Satan would loved to have shut the church down and made us less significant, God has actually turned the table on the enemy, and the church is actually advancing during this season of time, for which I'm very excited and pleased to share. The scripture that we're going to look at this morning is from Matthew 16:18, as I just shared. Let me just read that for you, and we are going to be looking at some other scriptures this morning. And some are asking these questions, you know, in reference to the church. Well, what's going to happen after this is over? And is the church going to see people move back into more of a home setting, an electronic setting, some kind of a live stream? There's so many different means of technology that people can connect. And so some may be asking those questions. In fact, some are suggesting that that's going to be the case, that once we open up the churches, we're not going to see, some are saying this, that we're not going to see as many people return. I don't believe that. I believe that God is actually going to use this event as a means of harvest to touch more lives and to bring more people into the functioning body of Christ. Well, when we read this scripture from Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." He had just said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Not on Peter. Peter's name actually means small stone, Petros. He was not talking about building his church on Peter, but on the profession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock, which is like the rock of Gibraltar. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell, will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Take note of this, that Christ is saying to Peter that that proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, on that foundation, on that rock, the kingdom of God would be built, the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But that's not all that Jesus says. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, family, listen, church. Christ has given us the keys to the kingdom. And the scripture says, whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's talk for just a few moments about the church and think about what the church is and what the work of the church is in regards to our function, our place. I would like, first of all, just to share with you from Hebrews 10:25. You more than likely are familiar with this passage. And it simply says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. I believe some translations would say, let us not forsake the assembly or the gathering or the coming together of some people as some people do, but rather encourage one another, especially now. When? Now. Encourage one another now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now that the day of his return is drawing near. That's one thing Bob Warner, one of our elders, was sharing earlier. The importance of making those phone calls, staying in touch, connecting with one another. A lot of things we can do during this time. And of course, it is the admonition from the Word of God that we connect, that we are relational, that we come together. And I want to address this and just share some thoughts from the Word of God in reference to the importance of coming together and what the Word of God has to say in regards to this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 45 and following, we find this verse, that the early church, selling their possessions and goods, they shared with anyone who was in need. With one accord, they continued to meet daily in the temple courts. So that's one place they were meeting, daily in the temple courts, and to break bread from house to house. Now, there's two different addresses that the early church regularly continued to meet. One was in the temple courts. In fact, the scripture says daily. They had daily times of prayer. I've thought of this many times, how the followers of Christ, the followers of Yeshua, how they continued to go to a temple and pray with others who had not yet found Yeshua, their Messiah, and perhaps under the leadership of those who did not have any interest in supporting the followers of the way, as they were called. However, we see with one accord, this was not just something that a few of them did, but it was mutually understood amongst the believers that this was a part of what they were to do as the body of Christ. They gathered daily, the temple courts, they broke bread from house to house. We've been blessed over the years to have home studies, home groups, home fellowships, and scripturally, if you look in the Word of God at what was happening in the houses, it was obviously a place where relationships took place. And Wednesday evening, we will have a home fellowship group, and you can call the church office for information regarding that. We do have a home fellowship group that is still meeting during this time, and we're able to do that. But they met with one accord. What happened in the house? Well, the Word of God was taught. They taught the apostles' doctrine. They had, of course, the Torah. They were able to study that, and they were able to share from the apostles' doctrine. So they would meet from house to house. They didn't all meet in one house, but they met in different houses together as the faith community. And they shared their meals. They ate together. They broke bread. They had what we would call Holy Communion together. And so this was part of what took place. People would come. People, it was a ministry center. It was a place, the home was a place where miracles took place. Prayer took place in the home. Communion took place in the home. Teaching from the Word of God. So there was growing, there was edification, and there was multiplication that took place in the early church as they met in the larger gatherings and also house to house. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, again we see the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. The name. What's the name? The name of Jesus Christ. Every day, verse 42, Acts chapter 5, 42, every day in the temple courts and from house to house, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. So the body of Christ assembled. They assembled as a large group. They went to the temple. I know that as Paul and others would travel, they would be involved in the seasons of prayer at the temple. They met in the temple courts. They also met from house to house. And then in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 11, I'll start actually with verse 6. And after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we sailed from Philippi, and 5 days later, we joined them in Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now, we're gonna look at an unusual I would say it would be a little unusual for most of us today, gathering for worship. Listen to this. On the first day of the week is what? It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. We're going to see this. They were gathered, who? The believers. They're gathered on the first day of the week, just as we're gathered today. On the first day of the week, we came together. To do what? To break bread. And since Paul was ready to leave the next day, he talked to them and kept on speaking. This is the part that's different. Until midnight. Well, some of you, you're already thinking, well, Pastor Jonathan, you could do that. Well, maybe perhaps I could. But I want you to get the context of this because I'm going to ask you a question once we look at this verse. So he was going to leave the next day. He talked to them and kept speaking until midnight. Now, there were many lamps in the upper room, so they're not on a first floor, on the upper room where they were gathered. And a certain young man named Eutychus, seated by the window, was sinking into a deep sleep. Now, I've had some people say, well, if I'm going to sleep, I may as well just stay home. Well, Eutychus didn't feel that way at all. Eutychus went, even though he ended up falling into a deep sleep. And I was in one service where the evangelist, someone was sleeping, he threw a songbook. I guess he felt that he could do that and God would take care of whatever damages there were. Well, I've never done that or felt led to do that. But Eutychus fell asleep. If you're going to fall asleep and you're seeking God, I think that's an okay thing to have happen. But Eutychus fell asleep and he was seated by the window. And as Paul talked on and on, now when he was sound asleep, he fell from the third story. Ouch. Now most, I'm not sure that their ceilings were exactly the same as ours would be today, but a third story could very easily have put him at 20 feet, maybe 22 feet in the air. And so when we think about three stories, the roof, it could easily be 30 feet high. So this could easily be 20, 22 feet high. This man in this service, this gathering of the believers, they don't have air conditioning. Israel isn't always cool. It was warm in the place, a lot of lamps. And he dozes off. He's by the window. He simply falls out of the third story window. And he was, well, this was nice, wasn't it? They picked him up. However, when they picked him up, this isn't so nice, they found him to be dead. But Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and embraced him, and said, "Do not be alarmed, he is still alive." Then Paul went back upstairs, broke bread, and ate. Now at this point you're saying, Pastor, you got to be kidding me. These people literally were in a gathering with believers from in the evening until midnight. Then they have a death in the family, and the man who has died is raised from the dead, and it did not interrupt the service. Nope, nope. The service kept going on, and the service continued until daylight. This is amazing, isn't it? And, of course, they broke bread and ate. After speaking unto daylight, no, Paul didn't take a day off and sleep all day. It wasn't his Monday day off. He departed. He went on and traveled the next day. Well, this is kind of an amazing glimpse into what was taking place in these home gatherings and how the church was being ministered to. Now, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you went to a meeting? You gathered in some kind of a meeting, whether in a home, in a church service, or whatever. And the guest speaker spoke till midnight, and then you had a miracle, someone raised from the dead, and then the service continued until daylight, and then everybody went out and went on with their day as if that was something that could happen normally. I can hear all of you now say, oh, yeah, that's normal for me. I just was involved in a service like that, just before they shut things down. I'm used to having services like that. Well, someone else might be saying, well, you know what? I go to one of those churches that has a one-hour service because the Lord knows I'm going to have my nose counted. I'm going to be there. I'm going to put my offering in the bucket, and I'm going to fulfill my obligation. Then I'm going to get out of there, and when the restaurants are open, I'm going to be back sitting at my favorite restaurant for 2 hours to have lunch. Well, some of you may identify with that. But let me ask you this question. Why do you think anybody would come to a gathering like that and stay for that period of time? Well, you may say, well, perhaps it was because Paul was just such an exceptional speaker. Or, you know, he didn't come through often. People had heard a great deal about his ministry, and he was just so exceptional. Or maybe you would say the people in that day, they were exceptional people. They were just exceptional. The people, you know, they were just different than we are today. They didn't have so many responsibilities. Their life was simpler. So this was something they could do. Or do you think it's possible that perhaps these who attended this meeting had an exceptional hunger and thirst for God? And because of their hunger and thirst for God, this was something they wanted to be a part of. Well, we're praying for revival, aren't we? We're praying for God to awaken our nation. And when we pray for the nation to be awakened, we are praying for those who we might consider to be, well, the heathens, you know, like our neighbors and people down the street. And some may even say, well, some of those people in other churches that just don't get it right, right? The, you know, those who aren't quite as right as we are. But when we pray for an awakening, yes, we are praying for the lost to be found. We are praying for those who are dead to be raised to spiritual life, those who have hard hearts to have their hearts softened, those who have spiritually blinded eyes to be able to see, and those who have deaf ears to be able to hear. However, when we say we're praying for revival, now this is different, because if you're going to be revived, you have to have something to have a revival. You have to have something to start with. And so there are many people that have had in our nation, have had some level of truth. Maybe as a child, you grew up. Maybe some of you grew up in Sunday school. Some of you grew up maybe with a perfect church record. And some of you who are listening today, maybe that's you. Maybe you grew up with that kind of a record. And when you were young, maybe even when you were older, maybe you had a church wedding, as used to be the norm and not necessarily the norm today. Maybe you went to church every week. Maybe you had a perfect record. But in America, there are many more people today that consider themselves a part of the church than those who actually show up at the church. Well, you're not shocked to hear that because you've heard of, the Christmas Christians and the resurrection Christians. You know, those who show up to celebrate the birth of Christ and those who show up to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And other than that, many in our nation, they may show up if somebody died that they were close enough to. Woohoo! That's a pretty big deal, right? Well, I made it to church on Christmas. I made it on Resurrection Sunday. And now I made it for I better not name anybody who died because it might be somebody's name. So I don't want to say that. But you ended up at a funeral and you go, whoop, I'm in church again. Isn't God going to be really excited about this? Or maybe there's a wedding and you go to the wedding. And you just feel so good. You see these people you haven't seen in so long, and you're all excited to be there. Well, the church needs a reviving. We are a long way from being a red-hot, active, relevant, living witness for Jesus Christ. So we definitely need a revival. I want to speak about a couple more things today that I believe are important. When we think about the church and we think about people coming together, we started with that, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Why would we come together in the first place? I mean, why? Why do we need to meet? Why do we need to be relational? Why did the early church meet in the temple courts? Why did they gather in each other's homes? Why did they do this? Well, perhaps you can come up with many more reasons, but I'm going to suggest just a couple. I'm going to suggest one is because when we gather together, it is an opportunity for the church to be equipped to be the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, we read these words, and it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for works, for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, as we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ. And so one of the reasons why, that clearly in the Word of God, it gives us direction, is so that we can be equipped, we can learn, we can grow, we can hear, we can receive, not just from the pastor, but the teachers and the apostles, the evangelist, and together we can receive from the Word of God and we can grow. I believe there also is another very significant and important reason for the church to come together. And that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it talks about the body of Christ in this way. The body is a unit, though it is comprised of many parts. And although its parts are many, they all form one body. Parts, many parts, one body. And so we have the church, it's a body, there's many parts that come together to form a body. So, and although its parts are many, they all form one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Listen, whether we're Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. For the body does not consist of one part alone, but many. So God has made us so that I have a part in the body, you have a part in the body, your family members, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, we all are to have a part in the body. And God has gifted us differently. And so we come together, we gather together. Why do we gather together? We gather together because the gifts that God has given to the church then equip the church to be the church. Equip each of us individually in our giftings to be able to function as the church. And then the church, as we come together, we come as perhaps the fingers to the hand to the wrist to the arm. When I was a young man, I remember hearing that song that the knee bone's connected to the, you know, I guess the leg bone, and the leg bone's connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone, you know, what was that song about? That spiritual. That song was about God making us to be a living representation of who He is. And that's exactly what the church is and who we are. We are to be the living representation of Christ on the earth. The Word of God talks about the work that's in process in His church. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, this is addressing husbands and wives, and says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself." Now listen, "as a glorious church, without stain," some translations say spot, "without wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless." Amazing, isn't it? That husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church. He gave His life for the church. Why? To sanctify the church. Good Greek word, hagias. To separate, to set apart. Set apart from what? Death, destruction, hell, sickness, disease. Put whatever in there that Christ came to deliver us from. Yes, He came for all of those things. To sanctify the church, His body, those various parts of the body, to set them apart unto life, and to cleanse by the washing with the water through the Word. This is what the Word of God does. We gather, the Word is shared. The Word cleanses, it purifies, the work of the Spirit sanctifies, so that the church is in the process on a daily basis of being prepared for the Lord Himself. Listen to this. "I hope you will bear with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that." This is Paul, of course, in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I promised you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." Pure virgin to Christ. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying the work that God is doing in your life, in His church, is a work to purify, to sanctify, and to prepare you to be presented to Christ. And Paul said, "I am afraid, however, that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may be led astray from your simple and pure devotion to Christ." Paul is saying, "I'm concerned that maybe the deceitfulness of the enemy could distract you from that high calling that God has given us." Revelation 19, 7 through 9 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. She was given clothing of fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen she wears is the righteous acts of the saints." Then the angel told me to write, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." There is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. It's in the Word of God. Blessed are those who are invited to that. And you're only going to get in if you have this garment on. You remember the story of the one who came and was not properly dressed. Yes, Paul talks about the church being a pure virgin. John is recording the words of Christ that he is He is coming for a church that is dressed, that's spotless, that is prepared for his coming. This is why we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, because those who God has gifted is to minister to the church, to equip them to be the church. And you who are the church are then anointed and gifted to minister to each other, and not only together, but together represent Christ to a watching world. In Ephesians 3:10, it talks about this mystery. To illuminate for everyone the stewardship of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Listen to verse 10. This is Ephesians 3, verse 10. His purpose, God's purpose for who? The church. His purpose was that now, say now. Maybe somebody's listening to you, but you can say now, that now, not tomorrow, but now through the church. So what's supposed to be happening now through the church? Well, here it is in this verse. Through the church, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to who? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. You may say, well, exactly what does that mean? Who is the church to reveal the manifold wisdom of God to? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I could almost hear you asking that question. Because when you look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, you find out exactly how this works. When you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our trespasses, having canceled the debt ascribed to us in the decrees that stood against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed, listen, disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle, a public example of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You say, well, amen, I know that Jesus did that. He conquered death. He conquered Satan. He conquered the grave. I know he did that for me. But what does that have to do with me? Well, we were just reading about that in Ephesians 3, verse 10. That now, you see, Jesus died then. That was 2,000 years ago. But that same power that brought Jesus up out of the grave, that conquered the work of Satan, is at work in God's church, you, the church, today. And this is what this verse is talking about. His purpose was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, we've looked at a couple very important things that the church is to be. We're to be that pure virgin prepared for Christ to come. We are also to be that part of the church that connects with the other parts and ministers. But then in Revelation 22, verses 16 through 17, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Now listen to verse 17. The Spirit, that would be the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come. This is the last book of the New Testament. We're looking at verse 17. And it says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride. Who's the bride? You are the bride. Why are we not to forsake assembling ourselves together? Because the bride is to represent Jesus Christ right now in the earth. We are to be the living witness of his love, of his gospel message, and of his hands outreach. We are to be the living representative of Christ, victorious over Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Yes, that is us, we the church. So we are to join in with the Spirit and say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who desires the water of life to drink freely. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Ben's going to give us the information again, and then we're going to have a closing time of prayer. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of one of our other elders to lead us in a closing time of prayer today. Ben, give us all of that information, please. Let me get your mic on.
Sure. If you'd like to connect with our church, our email address is info@abundantlifestuart.com, or you can call the church at 772-220-0602. If you'd like to check out our website, you can go to www.abundantlifestuart.com. There's a link at the bottom of the page if you have not already paid your tithes and offerings. If you've already done that, thank you so much. And also, if you'd like to mail us something, a letter, a note, or a word of encouragement, you can do so at Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. That's Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995.
I want to direct your attention in closing today to Ezekiel chapter 37. If you're familiar with the story of the dry bones, yes, Ezekiel 37 is the chapter where you find that story. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, to the air, to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.'" Now listen, some of you remember the days when the church was on fire. Some of you remember when Pentecostal churches were known all over the region as the place where the miracles, the signs, the wonders, and Pentecostal fire fell. Some communities don't know anything about Pentecostal fire today. Some communities have many churches, large churches, small churches, but there's not much talk about the fire of Pentecost, the breath of the Spirit, the transformed life, the Jesus-filled life, the Holy Spirit-baptized life. But listen, my friends, just because maybe those who were tending the fire have got caught up doing other things, it doesn't mean that the fire is still not fully available and at work. and I believe that God is calling to those of you who remember. He's calling to you in faith. Pray again for the outpouring of the power of our God upon our nation, upon our cities, upon our churches, upon our families, that once again we would see and experience the power of God that saves the sinners, sets captives free, and delivers us from the strongholds of addiction and the power of darkness. This is our Jesus. My friends, if you're in the kingdom today, would you join me in praying for that great revival? Start it right here, God. My life, my family, within my congregation,